Good morning. If you would open up your Bibles to Ezekiel 36. It's the text we walked through last week and spent our time focusing on. I want to come back to it again this week and look at a little bit more of what's going on in these verses. Ezekiel 36, we're going to pick up in 16 again. It was a good song, really good exposition of 1 Peter 1 and 2, just really drawn from the text and really rich, so hopefully we can get to know that one a little bit better and sing it more comfortably. All right, Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 16. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, These are the people of Yahweh, yet they've come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares the Lord Yahweh, when I prove myself holy among the nations in their sight. For I'll take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You'll be careful to observe my ordinances. You'll live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I'll save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will not bring a famine on you. I'll multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you'll loathe yourselves in the sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord Yahweh. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste places to be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and a waste, desolate and ruined. Cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, Yahweh, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, Yahweh, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. So we talked about this text and looked at it, sort of what's going on as a whole last week. But let's just walk through it again. So you've got a brief history lesson that as this section begins. And God looks back on the time when he brought Israel into the land. And when they got there, they defiled the land with their idolatry and injustice. He says they filled the land with bloodshed. They filled the land with idols. And so God responded in judgment according to their deeds, according to their ways, and brought them into exile. He says, them among the nations. But when they were in exile, they profaned God's name there because of their sin as well. It gave occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme and to just treat his name as common and profane his name, saying, "This is you're the people of Yahweh. He's brought you out of your land, or you're not even able to stay in your land." And it looked at that as he's no different than any other god, or even weaker than the Babylonian gods. And so God has regard for his name, and he begins to act, but he underscores, this is not for your sake that I'm doing this, it's for the sake of my holy name. I'll vindicate the holiness of my great name. And he'll do that, though, by blessing the people, by restoring covenant blessings and renewing and even greater abundance than what they'd enjoyed before. And at the end of all this, the nations will know that I'm Yahweh, and Israel will know that I'm Yahweh. And we talked about that last week, that priority of God's name, that that's the ultimate end and outcome of everything. And then Jesus himself taught us to order our lives and order our prayers around that priority. Hallowed be your name. And even as we pray, the other aspects that he taught us to, your kingdom, your will, the daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and victory over temptation, all of that is for the hallowing of God's name. And Paul got that. You just read over and over in scriptures, all about hallowed be his name. That's what it's all headed towards. And I thought about, like, just preaching that again this way. I had serious considerations, or at least talking about the same thing from a different angle. But I actually want to zoom in a little bit to an aspect that's within this framework. So if you go back to Ezekiel 36 and look at verse 24, I want to read 24 through 28 and focus specifically on the promise. So again, the overall framework is God is acting for the sake of his holy name, to vindicate the holiness of his great name, for the hallowing of his name. And in so doing, he'll bless his people. So look at 24 through 28 again. For I'll take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you to your own land. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You'll live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. So Ezekiel's picking up the language of the Mosaic Covenant to describe these blessings that would come upon his people, ultimately in the Messiah. These are things that would be fulfilled in the Messiah, but he's using language of the Mosaic Covenant to describe these blessings. And so the first picture is taking the scattered people and bringing them together into one people and giving them the land of promise. He talks about a cleansing. He sprinkled clean water and they would be cleansed from the filthiness, cleansed from the idols. He talks about a change from within. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'll put my spirit within you and you'll walk in my ways. And the end of all this is this knowledge of God, this personal knowledge of God, this covenant with God. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So we're zooming in more and more. But I want to especially now focus on 26 and 27. And what he's talking about here in regards to this new heart, new spirit, my spirit within you. When you think about all that we've looked at this year as we've walked through the Bible, all the evil, all the sin, all the rebellion, all the arrogance, all the injustice, all the idolatry, that human problem, right? That is fundamentally a heart problem. Take what we just read in Ezekiel and Israel profaning God's name in exile. Or you think about all the idolatry and the injustice that piled up over the centuries that led to that exile. Or you go back to their days in the wilderness and the complaining and the grumbling and the just failure to honor God and give him thanks. Or you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and you think about the arrogance, thinking, you know, I'm gonna take something apart from God. I'm gonna advance apart from him. I'm gonna look good. I want this. All that sin that just keeps piling up, all that rebellion, is fundamentally a heart problem. It's the inclination of our heart, it's the posture of our heart that's given to arrogance and selfishness rather than the Creator. Mark Ezekiel 36, but flip back to Deuteronomy 30. That problem is more than revealed in the Torah. And then you come to the former prophets, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and you read that and it's just highlighted that much more. But the end of the Torah, the end of Deuteronomy, the solutions presented. And it really sets the course for the rest of the law and the prophets. And I will go ahead and read at least the first six verses here. So it shall come, Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 1. So it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, you call them to mind in all the nations where Yahweh your God has banished you, and you return to Yahweh your God and obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I commanded you today, you and your sons, then Yahweh your God will restore you from captivity, have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where Yahweh your God has scattered you. If Your outcasts are at the end of the earth. From there, Yahweh your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. Yahweh your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed. You'll possess it. He'll prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, Yahweh your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. So just looking at those first six verses at a glance, or just kind of step back, do you see how closely that's resonating with the things Ezekiel's promising in 36 and the rest of Ezekiel? So I just want, as we're reading through the scriptures on our own, working through our reading plan, be in tune to those connections and how much Ezekiel's picking this up, but particularly verse 6. The idea that God what's being promised is that God would transform his people from the inside out. Here he uses the imagery of circumcision, that covenant language of circumcision, and it's the idea God's gonna cut away what that sinful, arrogant, rebellious covering of the heart to expose the heart that would love God with their all. The very thing that God's been wanting from humans from the beginning, he would work in their hearts to bring this. And I want you to notice, God himself is acting, right? It's God coming in. It's God acting in a way to change and transform the hearts of his people. And the fruit of it, or the result of it, is obedience and a love for him. And so we go back to Ezekiel and realize Ezekiel's picking up that very same thing. He says, I'll give you a new heart. But instead of using the imagery of circumcision, he uses the imagery of a heart transplant. He talks about taking this heart of stone that is just arrogant and hardened in rebellion, and removing that heart of stone and giving him a new soft heart of flesh that would listen, that would hear God's word, that would obey him, would love him and know him. And so not only is there a new heart that's being given, there's a new spirit that he says is being put within them. And it's helpful for us to understand this idea of spirit. In Hosea, there's a couple passages in Hosea 4 and Hosea 5 that talks about a spirit of harlotry that's come over the people, that's led them into idolatry and unfaithfulness to God. And so what that's describing is this energy. He's using that, it's sort of poetically, metaphorically, to describe this energy or this force within someone that's controlling them, that's guiding them, that's leading them to make certain decisions, right? The imagery is not that some, like, literal prostitute, like, inhabited the people of Israel as a whole and led them into their unfaithfulness. No, he's using that as imagery to describe, this is what's in a person, driving a person, leading a person to behave the way that they do. And that's what God's saying here. He's going to take out that spirit that we've got that's been rebellious and that's been going our own way, that's living for ourselves, and he's going to put a new spirit within us. And notice the spirit that we get. I'll put my spirit within you. And then you will walk in my ways. And then you will be my people, and I will be your God. Do you get the promise, right? So again, it's the same idea that we see back in Deuteronomy. Now Ezekiel's picking up and bringing it in more, we would say, like high definition, right? It's a clearer, more vibrant picture of essentially the same thing. This transformation of people from the inside out. There's a change of heart, a change of spirit, and then a change of life. Walk in God's ways and fellowship and relationship with him. Now the New Testament writers never really explain that. They don't break that down for us. I think what they're doing is they're assuming we've been reading Ezekiel and understand the promise. And in reality, we've talked about this when I preached on the Spirit last year. But the reality is our struggles sometimes to understand the New Testament instruction on the Holy Spirit is just from our failure to know Isaiah and know Ezekiel and Zechariah and Joel and that sort of thing. But so armed then, hopefully with a bit of a sense of what's going on in Deuteronomy 30 and Ezekiel 36, I do want to go, and I want to just listen a little bit to the instruction of Paul. So if we have this picture in our minds of what God's going to do for the sake of his holy name, the blessings that he'll give, chiefly for our focus today, this transformation of humans from the inside out, a new heart, a new spirit, his own spirit within us that would lead us to obey him and walk with him and share in relationship with him. I want us to go to Galatians chapter 5. And again, armed with this understanding, armed with this picture, having this firmly in our minds, I want us to just listen to Paul's exhortation and commands and instructions to the struggling brethren in Galatia who were on the verge of forsaking Christ. And he writes these words, and they're very powerful. Galatians chapter 5, we'll pick up in verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each looking out to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The gospel says anyone who's a follower of Christ has the Spirit of God. You've been cleansed, you've been given new life, been brought into fellowship with the Creator, you've received the adoption of sons, you've been raised to life spiritually, and you have the hope of being raised bodily through the Spirit of God. That's the reality for every follower of Christian, for every follower of Christ. Paul says, live like it. Act like it. He says, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. When he talks about walking by the flesh, that's Paul's way of saying living for yourself, living according to your own impulses, your own selfish desires and impulses, and just doing whatever you want, trusting in yourselves, living selfishly. The Spirit is a completely different way. It's the way of God. It's the way of grace. It's the way of the cross, right? The Spirit guides us to faithfulness, to God's will, to the love of Yahweh with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, to the love of your neighbor as yourself, to the love of one another, as we see with Jesus and the cross. That's the way of the Spirit. And so he says, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Fundamentally, those are dispositions of our heart, right? Those are things that are going on inside of us. Those decisions we make, the attitudes, the responses, the way we orient ourselves, our ambitions, our desire, all those things, that's first something that's going on inside us. So we can't just look at somebody in the face and know, are you walking by the Spirit? Are you walking by the flesh? But he does tell us we can know. We can know what's going on inside by what we see on the outside. He says the works of the flesh are evident. And he lists them. And I'll read them again. The works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Things of which I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see what he's saying? If you walk by the flesh, this is the kind of stuff that's going to characterize your life. This is what your life will look like. You'll see some or many of these things. He warns us. You're not sharing in God's kingdom. There's no inheritance for you in God's reign. You're in rebellion against his reign. But if we walk by the Spirit, Again, the same thing's true. We'll be able to see. We'll be able to know. If you can look at your life and see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and that's the stuff that characterizes your life, well, then you're walking by God's Spirit. Heed the exhortation. Heed the warning. Let's be people who walk by the Spirit. I want you to think about something. God gave you His Son. And then God gave you His Spirit. What more could you want from Him? Live up to that. Live for that. If you're living selfishly, impulse-driven life, and the kind of stuff that's described here in Galatians 5, 22 through 23 characterizes your life, you got to turn it around. You got to repent and walk with the Lord. Again, He's given you His Son. He's given you His Spirit. Give yourself back. Take full advantage of the abundant blessing that He's given us in Christ, in His Spirit, for the sake of His holy name. And then, by God's Spirit, live that His name be hallowed as Jesus taught us to. That we not only pray, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, but every breath, every heartbeat is saying, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Jesus would end sermons, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I echo that. If you have ears to hear, please hear that. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we praise Your name. And we say, hallowed be Your name. We want Your name to be lifted up and honored and revered, because You are so worthy. You are our Creator, our King, our Redeemer. And You have blessed us so richly. Thank You for the gift of Your Son, the forgiveness of sins, the rescue, the redemption from slavery. Thank You for giving Your Spirit to give us cleansing and to give us new life and to lead us and guide us as we walk with You. Help us to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Those of us in Christ, we know truly we live by the Spirit. And so let us walk that way. May our decisions, our actions, our attitudes reflect Your Spirit leading and guiding, controlling our decisions. That we would be so full of grace that it would just flow out of us, exude from us to everyone we meet. Help us to be more and more like Jesus, conform to the image of Your Son, in accordance with Your eternal purpose. Help us as a family to truly love one another, to be there for one another, to share life together and support one another and encourage one another. And may we love our neighbors. May we truly be people who obey and rid ourselves of pride and selfishness and follow You in that love for others. And may our hearts first and wholly be devoted to You, to honor You and to praise You and to live for You and to love You. Father, we want Your kingdom to come more and more. We know Jesus reigns on His throne, reigns in the midst of enemies, and we want the last enemy to be defeated. We want death to be no more. We want to raise up in glory to share in Your kingdom, that You would be all in all. May we live every moment with that hope and with that desire. Father, thank you for your grace and your love. Again, we praise you for your Son. We praise you for the gift of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayers, if you need just encouragement or help with anything you're struggling with, if there's sin that you'd like to confess, so we can pray for you for healing in that. If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, to share, as two brothers have done this week, to share in the death of Jesus and the burial of Jesus, and also to share in his resurrection, to raise, to live a new life. If you're ready to do that and make that commitment, you believe that Jesus is Lord through his death and through his resurrection, then we're ready to baptize you into Christ. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing. Our God, gentle.